You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
Amen. Thanks, Pastor Steve. And it's just been great to be here this weekend. It's been just a really just amazing time in God's presence and just connecting with Pastor Steve and his family. I guess some of his family, the younger ones, the wise ones of the family, right? Is that right? Thanks for the just hospitality for us. And I brought some of my team with me, Joyette and Rachel. Would you raise your hands just so you know who they are? They're helping to minister this weekend. Rachel's on staff at Threshold Church. She helps oversee our deliverance ministry, and Joyette's on our deliverance team as well. So they're going to help minister. And thanks, Abby and the worship team and everyone who's led worship. Abby preached my message this morning already. So she prepared the way. I was kind of debating on what I was going to preach. I kind of had some stuff in mind. And then last night, I just kind of settled on starting with Isaiah 61. And so she, as she was opening up worship, she read from Isaiah 61, and I really feel like there's a theme here. But the Lord's been moving, and it's been awesome to see. Again, just raise your hand if you received deliverance this weekend, if you received a freedom, something lifted off or left. Just raise your hands, because I just want to give the Lord praise. Can we just give Jesus praise? There's a lot of hands up in the room. I just want to give Jesus praise and give him honor. And I heard there's even some testimonies over the live stream. There were some people that got healed and delivered over the live stream. So God is amazing, and I believe he's going to move again today. Why? Because that's who he is. That's who he is. He is the deliverer. Jesus is the deliverer. And, you know, some people think that I'm a deliverance guy, but I'm actually a Jesus guy. Okay? I'm a Jesus guy. Jesus happens to be a deliverer. That's a major part of who he is. He is a healer. He is a savior. He is a deliverer. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still doing the same things. And so I want to start just in Isaiah 61. I want to talk about getting established in freedom. I want to talk about how to get free, but also how to stay free, and just the progression that God takes us through. And so I know probably there's a lot of people here that weren't here over the weekend. How many people, this is their first time in a session this weekend? Raise your hand. So quite a few. Okay, so I encourage you to go back and listen if you haven't caught the live stream yet, just because I gave a lot of foundational teaching, shared my background, my story, how God led me into all this. So I encourage you to go back and just check that, because there's some good just foundations for you. But I want to read from Isaiah 61. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And this is actually the scripture that Jesus himself read. It was the scripture that he quoted at the beginning of his ministry in Luke chapter 4. And you could almost say this was like his mission statement for his earthly ministry. If Jesus were to have a website, right? If Jesus, you know, JesusChristMinistries.com, right? If he were to have a website and he would have a vision statement or a mission statement, this is probably what it would say, because this is how he described himself. And this was prophesied over him years before. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Verse 4, "And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations." There is a progression in this passage that we see unfolding, which I love. And I want to point out some things about these verses. There's so much rich truth that we can find in these scriptures that, again, Jesus himself quoted. And after he quoted it, he said, "Today this is fulfilled in your hearing," in Luke 4. And so he starts by talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God was going to rest upon him, was resting upon him in order to do certain things. There were certain activities, ministries that he was going to do. And the first thing thing he said? He said, preach good tidings, or we know that it means good news to the poor. Now, it's really interesting in the Hebrew language, the word for poor there doesn't just mean financially poor. It doesn't just mean that you don't have enough money to live on. That word for poor actually means oppressed. It means downtrodden. It means maybe abused, pushed aside, marginalized. So when he talks about bringing good news, he's saying, I'm coming to those that society has beat down. Maybe you've been beat down. Maybe you've been pushed down. Maybe you've been oppressed. And he says, I'm coming to bring good news. I'm coming to bring the gospel, the good news to those who have been pushed down and oppressed. And then he says, I've come to heal. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And that word brokenhearted, sometimes we think of a broken heart and we think maybe a person is just sad, or we think of a broken heart and we think maybe, a person, they broke up with a girlfriend or a boyfriend and they're brokenhearted, right? But actually, in the original Hebrew language, that word for brokenhearted, what it means is, it means a fractured soul. Because the word for heart is the word for our interior life, our mind, our emotions, our soul. And so that's what the word for heart in that passage is. And the word for broken, it means fractured, crushed, smashed, fragmented. So he's actually talking about binding up. The word for heal means to bind together. He's saying, I've come to bind together the heart that has been crushed. I've come to bind together the heart that has been fractured. Because sometimes when we go through circumstances in life, our soul becomes crushed. You know, sometimes we don't realize how much our soul can be damaged or hurt or wounded because it's invisible to the natural eye. If you got a cut on your arm and it was bleeding, you would know exactly what to do. You would know how to treat it. You would wash it out. You'd put a bandage on it, right? If you broke your arm or if you got an injury physically, right, you would go to the doctor or you would treat it or you would take care of it because there would be an obvious pain that was there or something that needed to be cared for. But sometimes our soul has gone through stuff and our soul is bleeding on the inside. Our soul has been crushed on the inside. Our mind has been injured through various circumstances, through traumatic events we've gone through abuse that we've endured from other people or circumstances. And it causes this fracture, it causes this shattering in our heart. And Jesus says he was sent to heal, to put back together the pieces of your heart. He was sent to put back together the fragments where we've been crushed in our mind. That's good news. That's good news. That's part of the gospel. It's part of what Jesus still does today. He still heals the brokenhearted. He still has good news for those who have been destitute or oppressed. Then he says to proclaim liberty to the captives. Liberty, freedom to those who have been captured, to those who are bound. Last night, when I preached, I talked about different types of demonic influence. I talked about bondage, being enslaved to something, being addicted to something, a sinful habit or a destructive habit where you're bound and you're being controlled by it. I talked about being oppressed or tormented or afflicted by the enemy. Those are some of the things we can be captured by and be a captive. And he says, I've come to bring liberty, freedom to those who have been captive. Opening of the prison to those who are bound. Because we can end up in a spiritual prison. We can end up in a prison of sin, in a prison of shame, in a prison of bondage, in a prison of oppression. And he says, I came to bring freedom, proclaim liberty to those who have been captive, those who are bound. Proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God. Then he goes through this whole list, comforting those who mourn, consoling those who mourn in Zion. I love this whole progression in verse 3. He says, to give them beauty for ashes. Notice the exchange that's happening throughout this passage. Beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So, here's what I love about God. Well, there's many things I love about God. This is one of the things I love about God. He doesn't just want to remove something. He wants to replace it. Are you catching what he's saying? He doesn't just say, I want to get rid of these ashes. He says, I want to actually give you something beautiful instead. He's not just saying, I want to heal you of mourning. I want to fill you with the oil of joy. He's not only saying, I want you to be delivered from the spirit of heaviness, which I think, again, Abby addressed in the worship time. A spirit of heaviness is a demonic spirit that brings despair. It brings depression. It brings hopelessness, a dark cloud. But he says, I want to give you a garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. There's an exchange that's happening. And then he says, they may be called trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. That means he wants you to be established. Not just set free, but established in freedom. Not just delivered, but rooted and grounded as a oak of righteousness, a tree of righteousness. Because he wants you to be stable in him. He wants you to be rooted in his love, grounded in his truth. So that not only can you get set free, but your life then begins to be set on a foundation that is strong. You become stable. See, trees that have a good root systems are stable. And there's things in the Bible that says we're supposed to be rooted in. Paul the Apostle prayed for the Ephesians. He said, you may be rooted and grounded in God's love, for example. So, in other words, God's love is meant to be a foundation. God's love is meant to be a root system that nourishes us. The roots are what nourishes the tree. The roots are what stabilizes the tree. It's a foundation for which to build upon. And so if our life isn't built on that foundation, there's going to be cracks. It can be shaky. We can be tossed to and fro. Because we can either see our circumstances through the lens of God's love, or we're going to see God's love through the lens of our circumstances. If you're rooted in God's love, then God's love becomes the lens that you see life through. If you're rooted in his love, then you see your circumstances, even if you go through difficulties, you go through trials, you go through stuff you can't explain, it's mysterious, you're not sure what's going on, but you're still able to see it through a lens of God's love. It doesn't throw you off the path. But if we're not rooted in God's love, what we tend to do is we tend to look at our circumstances and then we tend to say, well, God must not love me. We're skewing his love through that lens, right? So he wants us to be rooted in love. He wants us to be rooted in truth. Truth is a sure foundation, grounded in his word, grounded in our identity as sons and daughters. These are all important aspects of not just getting free, but staying free, getting stable. Getting stable in our freedom, an oak of righteousness, a tree of righteousness that gives the Lord glory. And then verse 4, this is incredible. They shall rebuild the old ruins. I want to emphasize the word they. They shall rebuild the old ruins. Who is they? Who is they? They are the very ones he's talking about in this whole passage. The ones who were oppressed and poor. The ones who were bound in the prison. The ones who needed liberty from captivity. The ones who had the broken heart that needed to be healed. The ones that were oppressed and mourning and under the spirit of heaviness that he set free and established. He says, they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. You go from being the one needing deliverance to being the one bringing deliverance. You go from being the one bound and chained to being the one setting other people free from being bound and chained. You go from being oppressed and tormented to being the one to bring good news to other people, rebuilding the old ruins. You go from a generational cycles of past family histories of bondage or oppression or abuse to breaking off those cycles and setting up a new legacy in your family line. Come on, somebody should be saying amen. Come on now. Come on now. I'm getting some preaching on today. This gets me excited because this is the truth. It's so amazing when you watch this unfold. It's, you know, ministering deliverance, you know, it's not a glamorous thing, by the way. It's not glamorous. I mean, you really, you know, it's like getting your hands dirty in the nitty and the gritty, and you come across situations that break your heart. You come across things where, you know, people are sharing the deepest, darkest things of their lives, the sins or the traumas or the abuses. You know, you go through circumstances. There's amazing victories and amazing freedoms, and then there's times where it's like, what's going on here? It's not just a glamorous ministry, but I tell you, it never gets old. Is seeing the chains break off of somebody's life. Seeing people that thought they were going to live a certain way the rest of their life God steps in and breaks the chains and sets them free from the oppression they were under, from the demonic influence they were under. Yeah, that never gets old. Never gets old. But what's even more amazing than even that is when you see this progression continue to flow and you see that same one and they just take a hold of this thing. They just begin to get established. They get set free and they just start running after the Lord. They start growing by leaps and bounds. Sometimes we get emails, you know, from people just like days and weeks, and it's like their just mind is blown. It's like they got set free, and then there's all this new stuff is coming. The Lord's speaking to them. They're seeing stuff in scripture. And then before we know it, they're, you know, casting out demons from people and they're setting other people free. It's just like, that is it right there. You know, we had one lady that Rachel and I ministered to, and she was powerfully delivered in our session, and the Lord just met her. There was a healing, inner healing that happened, and deliverance from shame and other stuff from her childhood. And I mean, she just took this thing and started running. And, you know, she attends our church on Sunday nights. Our church meets Sunday evenings. And then there's a church that her family was going to previously, and they were still attending some to this other church. And so she, you know, she was attending this other, her other home church there. And there was somebody that she felt like the Lord had given her a word for to get free from a spirit of fear. And she's like trembling, but she steps out and prays. This lady gets delivered from anxiety and fear. You know, she comes to her the next week saying, "Thank you so much. I'm free." And da-da-da. I'm like, come on now. It's multiplying. This is what we want to see. This is called payback. This is called payback to the enemy. This is when you make the devil wish he never touched your life. You make the devil wish he never put that oppression on you. You make the devil wish he never bothered you, messed with you. Because there's a payback. There's a ripple effect in the kingdom of God bursting forth. I want to read verse 7. It wasn't in my notes, but I just feel like this is going to impact someone. Verse 7 here in Isaiah 61. It says, instead of your shame. Now again, notice the replacement. The replacement. The removal and the replacement. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. There's some of you that have been under a spirit of shame that the Lord wants to remove from you and say, double honor. Because of the shame you've been under, because of the way the enemy has been messing with you. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Some that have been under a spirit of confusion that God wants to release you from, that you'll rejoice in your portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Everlasting joy. So I want to just share some practical points today on how to stay free. I mean, how to get free, of course, but how to stay free. And we're gonna have a time of ministry again. We're gonna go into some more ministry because I know many people here today weren't at this time other services. So I just want to give an opportunity for people to receive ministry. We're gonna do that toward the end of this time. But I want to give some practical points here. And I also just feel like, as a little bit of a side note, that sometimes with deliverance, it can happen in a progressive way, through a series. In other words, sometimes, like, let's say, I like to use the illustration of a house, like because the Bible talks about like we're a temple, we're a house, and the enemy sees us as a house that he tries to dwell in. But let's say you have a house and there's 20 rooms in the house, and 10 of those rooms need to be swept clean. They need to be cleaned out. There's a lot of clutter in it. Well, yeah, that's like what deliverance is like. It's like God coming in and kind of cleaning out those areas of our life. Well, sometimes God might do two or three or four rooms in one sitting, in one meeting, one deliverance time. And then maybe down the road, he's going to highlight something else and clean those ones out. So don't be ashamed if there's a progression that happens like that, because God, again, wants you to be established in freedom. And there's a scripture, it's from Exodus 23, where he's talking about the Israelites possessing the promised land. It's verse 29 and 30. He says, I'll not drive them out from before you in one year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you, little by little, I'll drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. Sometimes God wants to deal with a certain area so then you can increase in that area, get established in that area, and then you're rooted in it and you're ready then to move on to another area. So don't compare your story with other people's stories. Everyone's journey is unique. Some people might get, you know, radically delivered in one encounter. Some people might have several times where God's, you know, dealing with certain issues. So just continue to focus on the Lord. Just continue to see Him. He's the shepherd. He's the deliverer. But after getting free, what do we do? What happens after we got free? What happens after, you know, a spirit leaves us and we're free from a bondage or an oppression? I think it's important that we realize that there still is a need to be vigilant to walk in that freedom. There's still a need to be vigilant in our walk with the Lord. You know, Jesus talked about, you know, the spirit that goes out of a person and he comes back. He tries to come back and knock on that door. He says he brings seven other of his friends with him that are more evil than himself. And he's not telling us that story to provoke fear in us. He's not telling us that story so we can be all afraid of, oh no, I just got delivered. What if seven more? No, but he's saying that's the importance of walking in freedom. That's the importance of filling the house up. Filling it up, because when that spirit came back, the Bible says it was empty. Even though it was swept clean, it was found empty. Here's the reality. There is no neutral in the spiritual realm. There's no neutral in the spiritual realm. So if you try to stay neutral, it creates a void that the enemy will fill. And so because that house was left empty and void, it created a vacuum that the enemy was able to come back and fill. Whereas if the house is filled with the nature of God, with the Word of God, with the Spirit of God, then there's no void there. See, because deliverance, we have to see deliverance in the bigger picture. Deliverance is part of the equation. It's not everything. It's an so important part, because it's often a missing link for people. But we have to see it as a part of the whole. Deliverance is meant to be not an end in itself. It's meant to propel us into a deeper walk with the Lord. Deliverance was never meant to be an end goal. It's actually more of a beginning that releases us so we can go into all the fullness that God has for us. It's meant to be connected to, in other words, it's not just about getting rid of bad symptoms that we don't want. Yes, of course, we want that, but it's more about knowing God more. It's more about getting free so we can fulfill His purposes. It's more about getting free so we can do the things God has called us to do and be who God's called us to be. And if we separate it from that and we see deliverance as just a standalone thing, then we can get into trouble, because we can just go for my deliverance fix and then I'll just go live however I want. And then just get into trouble, come back for a deliverance. No, no, no. It's actually, deliverance is meant to go with discipleship. Right? There's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. It's an obscure verse. Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 17. Did you know there's a book of the Bible called Obadiah? It's in the Old Testament. It's only one chapter long. Obadiah, verse 17, it says this. On Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob will possess their possessions. That's that same progression I just read from Isaiah 61. Same progression, just said in different words. But it starts with deliverance. On Mount Zion, that means that's where the people of God are, there shall be deliverance. But it wasn't the end. Deliverance led to holiness. And holiness led to walking in the fullness of our inheritance. Walking in the promised land. It's just how God established Israel when He brought them out of Egypt. First, He delivered them. They couldn't get into the promised land while they were bound in Egypt, while they were slaves. They had to be set free. So He sends a deliverer. He sends Moses. And they have this battle back and forth. And eventually, you know, they get released. They go through the Red Sea. But then He starts saying, calling them to holiness. He says, you're my special people. I've called you out of all the nations. Be holy as I am holy. And He gave them the law. And He gave them the ways to live. And he told them, don't be like the other nations. Don't worship the idols. Don't follow their customs. He called them to holiness, to Himself. And then He said, now it's time to go into the land, the promise I've given you. See, that's the progression. Holiness is the bridge from deliverance to inheritance. Holiness is the bridge. Holiness is not a bad word. And sometimes we kind of think it is, because we've gotten a legalistic version. See, what the devil presents the counterfeit so that we distance ourselves from the real. Legalism is the counterfeit to holiness, because legalism is law-based and outward, and you have to work, and you're never good enough, and it's all about just trying to work our way to God and following this role and that role and trying to be good, and it never works. But grace in the new covenant means we're changed on the inside. It means our heart is changed, and then we desire to live a holy life. But grace produces holiness. Holiness is still vital, absolutely. So deliverance should lead us into more of the knowledge of God, into more of our relationship with God, into more of a life that is following His ways. It's not an end in itself. It's not a substitute for other important things either. And it's not a cure-all, like every single problem you ever have is going to go away after deliverance. We're still living in this world. We still have temptations and trials and things. But now the nature of the battle is different. When you're delivered from something, the nature of the battle shifts dramatically. You're now walking in freedom. That doesn't mean there's never a warfare, but you're now walking in freedom instead of being bound. It's a major difference. So one of the key areas, if we're going to walk in this freedom, if we're going to get rooted like that tree of righteousness, one of the key areas that we need to really have a concept of growing in is the area of our mind. The area of our mind. Because how we think and what we think impacts how we live. How we think, what we think impacts how we live. That's why the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, he said, be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. He said this, he said, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. See, he's comparing, he's contrasting things. He's saying, we're either going to be conformed or transformed. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. That word conformed has to do with being shaped by an outward pressure. Think about it. If you're conformed, like let's say you have a Play-Doh or clay, or you're trying to make something, right? You're trying to shape something. You're conforming it with your hands. You're putting pressure on it. You're molding it. You're shaping it. You're forming it into something. That's what conforming is. It's being shaped by an outward pressure. And Paul specifically says the pressures of this world system. Don't be conformed by the patterns, the ways, the mindsets, the value system of this world, because the ways of the world are contrary to the ways of God. The world is not neutral. The world system is not neutral. It is antichrist. And so if we're allowing the ways of the world to shape our thinking, we're being conformed by the pressure around us. But he gives us the alternative. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So notice it's inward. It's not happening by outward pressure. It's happening by an inward transformation, by an inward renewal. In our thinking, in our mindsets. That word transformation, it comes from a Greek word that is very similar to metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. Do you guys know what that means? Caterpillar to a butterfly. That's metamorphosis. That's called transformation. What is he saying? He's saying you can actually go through a process of transformation that over the course of time, you could eventually look back on yourself and not recognize who you were. Because that butterfly looks nothing like that caterpillar, even though it's the same animal or creature, right? It went through a process. It had to go through a process. It's not always a fun process, by the way, being in the cocoon. The pressure of that. But he says by the renewing of our mind, it's like going through a process that we are being changed, transformed. Because deliverance can happen instantly, but transformation is often a process over the course of time. And we need both of those to walk in freedom. Because with every type of demonic influence, there's often a mindset that goes with it. And so we need to be not just delivered from the demon, but changed in our mindsets. I think I briefly shared either last night or the day before how my sister got delivered from an eating disorder. And I wrote the testimony in my book. She actually wrote it out. She wrote it out for my book, Setting Captives Free. By the way, you should get a copy of it. This is my shameless plug for my book. It's out there. I believe it's going to be helpful to you. That's why I'm promoting it, not just because I'm trying to sell books, but I believe it's going to be a helpful resource. But I shared my sister's testimony in there. She was delivered from an eating disorder she had for many years, and she gives kind of the story of it and the history. But after her deliverance, she had a moment of deliverance. God brought her to that point of a deeper repentance and a yielding to God. And then she experienced a deliverance, and everything changed from that point on. But she still had to have her mind renewed, because she was so used to relating to food in a certain way. She didn't know what was normal. She didn't know what was healthy. She didn't know what's a normal healthy portion sizes, and what does it look like to eat right. And just, so she had to go through a process of renewing the mind, right? Every type of bondage or torment, there's a lie of the enemy that goes with it. There's a mindset that goes with it. If there's an addiction that we have, there's probably some mindset that goes with that. It's probably feeding something. If there's pornography, right? It's not just about sex. It's there's mindsets that go with it. There's perversion. There's lust. There's entitlement and selfishness, right? They all go into those things. And so we need to get delivered from the spirits that are influencing it, but also allow the Lord to renew our minds. And that happens as we replace those lies with the truth of God's word over the course of time. As we're feeding on God's word, as we're getting to know what he says about who we are and what we have in Christ, and what is truth and what is a lie. Like if you've been under trauma and abuse, if there's been trauma and abuse, and so there's demonic oppression that's come, you get delivered from that oppression, but then there's probably some mindsets of shame or low self-worth or how could God love me, right? Those are so you begin to renew your mind and get established in your identity. That's how you begin to stay free and get stable in the Lord. And so not only do we need to renew our mind, there's one other area too about the mind, and that's learning to take thoughts captive. Yeah. Learning to take thoughts captive. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 and 5, just going to kind of quote it quickly, paraphrase it somewhat, but it's talking about the spiritual weapons that we have. Paul says, the weapons that we fight with, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, meaning they're not like man-made, human-made. He said, but they're mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. And he says, taking every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Taking every thought captive. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that we don't have to allow every thought that enters our mind to stay there. That means we don't have to allow every thought that comes to our mind to continue on and just run its course and just let us go down this trail in our mind. We can actually have dominion over our thought life. We can actually take authority. We can't always control thoughts that enter into our mind. And not every thought you have is from you. We know from Scripture that the enemy can put thoughts. He did it with Judas. It said how that Satan had already put it into the heart of Judas to betray. He planted the thought. He planted the seed. The enemy can plant thoughts. Sometimes it's our own flesh. Sometimes there's good thoughts, right? But all that to say, not every thought is your own, and you don't have to allow just because a thought comes into your mind. Sometimes we get paralyzed, like, oh no, I'm not supposed to think this, right? No, we can actually take authority over it. And not allow that thought to stay. We can push it out. And even just very practically speaking, we can find some scriptures that are going to help us. Like whenever the devil came to Jesus trying to tempt him, he used the scriptures. And so if there's areas of your thought life that maybe continue to be an area of temptation or struggle, you can find those scriptures to use to resist the devil. If you got set free from fear, but now fear is trying to creep back in, there's some great scriptures. God's not given you a spirit of fear. Personalize it. Quote it that you are saying it about yourself. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I resist the spirit. I resist fear. Too often we're passive in spiritual warfare. We're passive, meaning we just let it happen. We don't realize that we're supposed to be active in standing against. Not that we put all of our attention on the enemy, not by any means, but ready to resist. We'll get more into that in a few minutes. So taking authority over our thought life. I want to look at one more scripture That's James chapter 4. James chapter 4 gives us some great insight. Again, that helps us in this process of getting free and staying free. This applies to both of those. James 4, 7 and 8. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Just three quick bullet points that James is like packed with punch. You can get convicted reading the book of James pretty easily. But I love just these three quick sentences, these three quick points. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil and he'll flee, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. By the way, that verse, that draw near to God, he'll draw near, that must be one of the greatest promises in the whole Bible. Think about that. God is literally promising to draw near to everyone who draws near to him. That means if you want a closeness with God, you can have it. That means if you want to know God in a deeper way, you can. That means if you want to have an intimate relationship with the Lord, you can. This is the invitation. The invitation, God writes it, he sends it to you in the mail. Draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. It's an invitation. That's him initiating the process. Then as we respond by drawing near, whether it's through prayer, coming into fellowship with him, gathering together in corporate worship, opening up the scriptures and meditating on his word. Maybe we're in our car and we're just, instead of listening to a radio program, we're going to turn on some worship music and just begin to worship and begin to sing. Maybe we're in our house and we just shut the door. Like Jesus said, we go into the secret place and we just wait upon the Lord and we say, God, I'm here. I come into your presence by the blood of Jesus. I want to meet with you. I want to know you. And you wait upon him and you begin to seek him, right? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And as you set your heart to pursue him like that, he will reveal himself to you in greater ways. And it might not be in the exact way you thought, there's a pursuit, there's a journey, there's a relationship, but he will begin to reveal himself. He'll begin to manifest his presence to you. I'll never forget the time when God began to manifest his presence to me in a tangible way. One of the most life-changing things that ever happened to me. Which I'm not going to tell the whole story because that'll be a big side trip. But all that to say, when the Lord began to manifest his presence in a tangible way, in this, just in the secret place with him, just praying with him. And he says, draw near to me, I will draw near to you. But before that, notice the progression. It starts out by saying, therefore submit yourselves to God. This is the starting point of deliverance. Therefore, submit yourselves to God. Have a heart posture that says, God, I am yielded to you. God, you are God and I am not. God, you are in charge. Jesus, you are my Lord. I have a heart that says, I'm yielded to you. I'm not living in one foot this way and one foot in the kingdom of darkness. And I'm not, walking in deception or trying to cover my sin. I'm not living a lie. I'm actually going to yield my life to you. I'm going to walk in the light. If I stumble into sin, I'm going to be quick to repent and bring it to the light. I'm not going to justify it or minimize it. I'm going to yield by the power of the Holy Spirit every area of my life to be in accordance with God's will and God's word. That doesn't mean we're walking in perfection. Of course not. But it means our heart posture is yielded to him and we're on that journey. See, that's what positions you for the next sentence, the next part of the verse where it says, resist the devil and he'll flee. See, we often quote that part, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But if we don't have the first part, we're missing it. It's a heart that's submitted to God that positions you to successfully resist the devil. That heart posture, it says, God, I'm yielded to you. And here's the thing. If we do these things, the submitting to God, resisting the devil, drawing near to God and growing in that, we're actually, as a byproduct, going to stay free from the things we were set free from. We're going to get established. The root systems are going to go deeper. As we do that, so we don't have to run around like always afraid, like, what if I don't get free, or what if I don't stay free, or what if this thing comes back? Well, if we just focus on some of the basics of the Christian walk, then I'm not saying we don't need to be vigilant to resist. That's in there. Resist the devil. I'll talk about it in a second. But I'm saying it's kind of like our physical health, right? There's some things we can do to help our physical health, right? We can eat well. We can sleep well. We can take vitamins and build our immune system. I know this sounds like a conspiracy theory today, but it's true. And if you went to the doctor and you were having health problems and he starts asking about your basic, you know, habits, you know, well, how much do you sleep? Well, I sleep like 1-2 hours a night. And, you know, well, you know, tell me about your diet. Well, you know, I wake up in the morning and I eat a big chocolate cake. And, you know, then I have 3 Cokes for lunch. And then I have 2 Big Macs for dinner, right? Okay. Tell me about your exercise. Well, no, I don't exercise. I don't do that. Okay, well, let's start with the basics, right? Let's start with the basics, right? And so in the same way, we don't have to be so, like, if we do some things that, like, naturally build up our spiritual life, it's almost like it's creating an immune system spiritually. It's almost like creating an atmosphere that repels the enemy. Like, the devil hates the presence of God. I don't know if you know that. Like, demons hate the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They hate the presence of God. And so, an atmosphere of praise, the devil hates that. That's why it's a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. You know, an intimacy with the Lord, the devil's terrified by that. He is terrified by you being intimate with the Lord, by you knowing God. The greatest spiritual weapon is the presence of God. And so, if we'll take this active stand, this approach of yieldedness and then that resisting, that word resist, where it says resist the devil, that's an active word, not a passive word. That means that you set yourself against the enemy. That means that you make him your enemy. That means you have no agreement with him in your life. Don't allow anything in your life to agree with the devil. And that when that thing comes, that temptation or that spirit or that thought that comes knocking on the door, then you're actually ready to resist it and stand against it versus just being pulled back and allowing that thought just to go and go and go. Does that make sense? So as we submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, draw near to God, growing in intimacy with him, we are going to be doing the things that are helping us to get free and to stay free. I often use that James 4, 7, and 8, that passage, to actually say that's just like a prayer of deliverance. Submit to God, resist the devil. That's basically what a prayer of deliverance is. Submitting to God is closing the doors on the enemy, yielding ourselves to him, resist the devil, casting out the spirits that are tormenting, afflicting us. Why don't we stand to our feet? Because I want to move into some ministry time. I don't want to talk more. I want us to go. Let's encounter the Lord together. I don't know if there's anybody that could play in the Abbey or others. Let's just begin to pray. Let's just begin to welcome the Holy Spirit to lead this time. Father, I thank you for your manifest presence here in this place. I thank you that the heavens are open. Lord, I declare the heavens are opened up over this place, over this people. I declare the heavens are opened. God, that your angels are ascending and descending, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, is moving among us. Lord Jesus, that you are here. You are here because we're gathered in your name. God, I thank you for that same anointing that we just read about of Isaiah 61. That same anointing, Father, I ask, let it be released right now in the name of Jesus upon every person standing in this room, upon every person watching this video, watching this live stream. Let the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, God, begin to fall upon every person, Lord, bringing greater freedom, bringing greater healing. Jesus, you are the healer. Jesus, you are the deliverer. I declare that the kingdom of heaven is at hand in this room. That there is good news for the oppressed. God, your kingdom is within reach right now. It's right here in our midst, right now. You're the great I am. Not the I was, not the I will be, but the present tense, here, God with us, Emmanuel. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come in a powerful way. Begin to touch the people. Begin to minister. by your grace, God, by your love. I thank you, Lord, that those who get set free today from that spirit of heaviness, from that dark cloud, from that depression, I thank you, Father. Let the Spirit of God just move right now. Let the anointing of God be released. And I do ask for your angels, God, to be sent into this room on assignment, God, to do battle in the spiritual realm, God, to minister to your people. God, I pray for hearts to be opened up, Lord, to what you want to do. Hearts, just begin to open up your heart to Jesus. Just begin to talk to him in your own words. Just begin to say, Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I want whatever you want to do. Whatever's from him, whatever's from Jesus, whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do, begin to open your heart to receive what he wants to do today. And I'm going to lead us through a prayer of deliverance. I know if you've already been here over the weekend, it's going to be kind of similar, but I just felt like there's a lot of people here that weren't here for the other sessions, and I just feel like we should go through some of those similar prayers to submit to God and to resist the devil. So the first part of it's going to be focused on just yielding our lives to God, submitting to him, repenting of anything we need to. There might be people we need to forgive just between you and the Lord. You just release forgiveness to them. I encourage you to posture your heart in a place to be ready to receive from him. So I'm going to lead us through this prayer. I want everyone that's here in the room just to begin to pray through this with me and follow me in it. Those, if you're watching on the live stream, just wherever you're at, speak out and follow along with this prayer. I believe God will touch people on the live stream today as well. So let's start just by drawing near to him. Let's start by coming into his presence together. Let's say this. Heavenly Father, I come into your holy presence. I want us to all speak this out, right? With faith, with authority, with boldness, okay? I come by the precious blood of Jesus.
Precious blood of Jesus.
I draw near to you.
I draw near to you.
And I ask you to draw near to me.
So you draw near to me.
I worship and I honor you.
I worship and I honor you.
You are the one true living God. And I submit to Jesus Christ as Lord.
Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
I believe that you are the Son of God.
I believe that you are the Son of God.
That you are the only way to the Father. I believe that you came to the earth in the flesh. That you died on the cross for my sins. And that you rose from the dead. I thank you for your finished work.
Thank you for your finished work.
It's by your finished work that I come to you to receive healing, to receive freedom, to receive deliverance. I ask for your Holy Spirit to come upon me and break every chain.
Break every chain.
Open every prison door.
Open every prison door.
And set me free from all demonic influence in the name of Jesus. I submit my life to you, God. I want every area of my life to be agreement with your word.
In agreement with your word.
And your ways.
Your ways.
And I resist the devil. I take an active stand against Satan. And against every one of his demons. Those two basic areas, as many doors we could go through, but just for today's session, just want to, two basic areas I want us to pray through. I'm going to give you space and some time just to pray through in your own words between you and the Lord. And one is closing a door on the enemy by repenting and confessing sin and repenting if there's any areas of sin that you need to bring before the Lord. And then the other one is forgiveness, forgiving people. If there's anybody you need to forgive, anyone that has hurt you or betrayed you or sinned against you, and you're still holding on to unforgiveness and bitterness and hatred and resentment, you're wanting that revenge. And I always make this clarification because it's so important. It doesn't mean that what happened to you is not important or wasn't hurtful. It doesn't justify any hurt that you experience. It doesn't make it okay. And it doesn't mean you have to allow people to continue to abuse or cause that pain. You can set boundaries and have healthy relationships, but we can forgive between us and the Lord, between you and the Lord. You can release forgiveness. And when you do that, you are opening up that prison door. You can begin to step out of that prison door. So I just want to, I'm going to lead you in it right now and then give you space. So just say this, say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I come into the light.
Come into the light.
I confess all sin to you.
Confess all sin to you.
To receive your forgiveness, to receive your cleansing and your freedom. I repent from sin. The desire to live a holy life that's pleasing to you by the power of your Spirit. Specifically, now take time right now in your own words, just begin to release those confessions to God. Any areas that you need to just repent of, any sin that you need to bring into the light, just between you and God, begin to speak that out. Begin to pray through that. I'll give you a minute. Seconds on that. And we're going to walk through now this forgiveness part. It's going to be so key. I think just there's a handful of people in this room, this might be the most important aspect of this time, is that when we make this step of forgiving, it's like healing begins to come. We're set free from a spiritual prison and torment that's been with it. So I want you to pray this out. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you that because of your blood.
Thank you that because of your blood.
I am forgiven.
I am forgiven.
And because you have forgiven me.
Because you have forgiven me.
I choose to freely forgive.
I choose to freely forgive.
Any person who has ever hurt me.
Any person has ever hurt me.
Or sinned against me in any way.
Or sinned against me in any way.
I lay down all resentment.
Lay down all resentment.
I lay down all hatred.
All hatred.
I lay down all bitterness.
All bitterness.
I lay down all resentment.
All resentment.
And I choose to forgive.
I choose to forgive.
Specifically, I forgive. Now, right now, just begin to release those people just between you and God. I want you to do it by name and just say, Jesus, I choose to forgive. And then you just speak that person's name. And let the Lord remind you of maybe there's other situations or people that just you need to release to the Lord. Just begin to speak it out. Say, Jesus, I forgive. And speak their names. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give you a minute on that. Thank you. Father, even as those who are praying right now and just forgiving right now, God, I ask you to release the oil of the Holy Spirit just to begin to move in their hearts, God. God, that same anointing, Lord, that Jesus talked about of healing of the brokenhearted, I just right now declare a release, God, of that presence of God, that anointing of the Holy Spirit, God, that begins to heal the broken hearts, that begins to bring mending, Lord, to places where there's been crushed hearts, wounding in the mind, fracture of the soul. I say, be made whole, be made whole. He restores your soul. He restores your soul in Jesus' name. I ask for the power of the Holy Spirit, God, begin to minister to people's minds, to bring transformation over their minds, God, to uproot, Lord, the effects of abuse and trauma, Father, from them right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you're releasing that right now. Right now in Jesus' name, I take authority over the spirit of trauma. I command it to come out in Jesus' name. I rebuke the spirit of trauma. Every spirit of trauma, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. Be released from the people. I rebuke any spirit that came through abuse or traumatic events. I command them to go, to leave the people, to come out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to lead you into one last kind of declaration before I continue to minister over everybody here. I want you to, we're just going to make a clear stand against the enemy. We're going to tell any unclean spirits that are bothering us, influencing us to go. So I want you just to speak this out, all right? Say this: I renounce the kingdom of darkness.
Renounce the kingdom of darkness.
And all of its works.
All of its works.
And I declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord. And by the authority of Jesus' name, I speak to every evil spirit that has any influence in my life. And I command you to come out. Go in the name of Jesus. Now, just for a minute or so, I want you to lift your hands up as I continue to pray. Just lift your hands up to the Lord as a posture of just freedom and yieldedness to Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray a release of the power of the Holy Spirit, God, to begin to come upon every person in this place, God, even upon those watching on the live stream, Lord, that the Holy Spirit come in power and in the presence of God right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command every unclean spirit influencing the people, come out in the name of Jesus right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I rebuke every demon that's oppressing people. Come out in Jesus' name. I command you to leave the people now. Go from them now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I command every evil spirit, go now, leave them in Jesus' name. I take authority over the spirit of heaviness. Spirit of heaviness, come out in the name of Jesus right now. Spirit of heaviness, go right now, out in Jesus' name, out in the name of the Lord Jesus. I rebuke the spirit of oppression, come out in Jesus' name. Every spirit of depression, go right now, out by the authority of Jesus' name. Every spirit of despair and darkness, go now, out now, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I cast you out of them, go in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. Just continue to stay in a posture of receiving, hands up or down, whatever's, I know your arms are going to get tired, but just stay in a posture of yielding to the Lord. I'm going to continue to pray. I see the Lord moving and touching people, bringing freedom to people. I thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you lead this time, God? You know exactly what people need right now, God. Jesus, would you walk through this room and minister to your people? Would you walk through this room, Lord? Would you touch the hearts of people, God? Would you bring freedom today in the name of the Lord Jesus? In the name of Jesus, I take authority over the spirit of torment. Spirit of torment, come out in Jesus' name. I command every spirit that's tormenting the minds of people, out in Jesus' name. Go from them now. Go from them now. Go from them now. In Jesus' name, I silence the voice of every tormenting spirit. I command you out from them in the name of the Lord Jesus. I rebuke every lying spirit that tells lies to people, whispers lies in your ear. Out in Jesus' name, lying spirit, come out from them in the name of Jesus. Every lying spirit that's tried to attach to people's identities, out in Jesus' name. Go from their thoughts. Leave them now by the authority of Jesus' name. I command a spirit of fear. Come out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of anxiety, come out now in Jesus' name. Every spirit that causes crippling fear, anxiety, out now. Go in the name of the Lord Jesus. I rebuke the spirit of death in the name of the Lord Jesus. I say, spirit of death, come out now in Jesus' name. Spirit of a fear of death, go in the name of Jesus. Leave the people now. Leave the people now. Out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, there's freedom. Thank you, there's freedom. Thank you, there's freedom right now. Thank you, the chains, Lord, are breaking off, Lord. Thank you that you're removing heavy burdens, God. You're removing heavy burdens. You're opening up those prison doors for captives to be released, God, to be released in the name of Jesus, God. As you walk through this place, I thank you, Father. By the authority of Jesus' name, I command the spirit of addiction, come out in Jesus' name. I break the power of the spirit of addiction. Come out in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of addiction, go from the people. Any spirit of addiction to substances, come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of addiction to alcohol, come out in the name of Jesus. Go right now. Leave the people in Jesus' name. I break that curse. I break that generational cycle in Jesus' name. I command any spirit of addiction to pornography, come out in the name of Jesus. I command that spirit of lust and perversion, pornography goes out, out, out. Leave the people in Jesus' name. I command you to come out of the people. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Father, I ask you to step in and break the cycles, break the cycles, break the cycles, break the cycles. Break the chains, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over the spirit of affliction. Every spirit that's afflicting people, come out in Jesus' name. Every spirit that's even causing physical infirmity, out in the name of Jesus. Any spirit that's causing pain, sickness, affliction, come out of the people now. Leave their lives. Leave their lives. I send you out in the name of Jesus. Go from their bodies. In Jesus' name. Any pain in the back, any pain in the neck, come out in Jesus' name. I command a spirit of anger to come out in Jesus' name. That spirit that causes uncontrollable rage and anger. I say, spirit of anger, come out, leave in the name of Jesus. Go from the people. Leave them in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that instead of shame, Lord, that there's double honor. Instead of shame, there's double honor. And God, even those, I ask you to begin to minister to those that have come under shame, God, because of things they've experienced or things they've done, but I just even especially things they've, stuff they've gone through, Lord, traumatic events, being abused sexually, being abused in any way, God, I just ask for that right now to begin to minister to the hearts of people, God, that have been tormented because of what they went through. I thank you that you are healing their hearts now. You are restoring them. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I command any unclean spirit that came in through abuse to come out now. In Jesus' name, I command any spirit that came through sexual abuse to go out now, to go out now. I command that spirit of confusion to go out now. Leave in the name of Jesus. I command that spirit of shame, come out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of shame right now, I remove you. I lift off the cloak of shame off of every person in Jesus' name. And I declare double honor to begin to come upon God's people. I command any spirit that came through word curses, destructive words, come out in the name of Jesus. I break the power of word curses, labels, false accusations, slander. I command you to come out in Jesus' name. I break those demonic assignments by the authority of Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. God, thank you that you are moving. In just a minute or two, just a couple minutes, we're gonna begin to close down things and just open a way for some personal prayer ministry and continue to pray for individuals that want, you know, more prayer. But I know that the Lord could move powerfully through the corporate time and ministry as well. How many people have actually felt something like leaving them? Sometimes it might feel lift off or coming out or something just, yeah, leaving them, you feel lighter. Just would you raise your hands if that's you? Would you put your hands up? Can you put your hands up real high and wave them so we can celebrate? We want to celebrate. Can we clap our hands and just honor the Lord? Yeah. Yeah. God can move in just a powerful way of many testimonies of people's lives that were radically changed in one moment in just a corporate setting like this. So I want to encourage you to continue to walk in those things and even the things I shared today. Continue to get established in the Lord. Grow in your relationship with Him. He set you free because He loves you. See, every encounter, every healing, every deliverance, you know what it is? It's an invitation for relationship. And it's sad when we miss that. You know, there was the story of the 10 lepers. I don't know why I'm saying this. There was a story of the 10 lepers, and Jesus healed all of them, and they all go away, and they're getting healed. But there was one that got it. There was one that got it. He came back, and it says he got, and he kneeled before Jesus. And he said, Lord, thank you. Do you know what he got? He got the presence of Jesus. He didn't just get a healing. He got the presence of Jesus. See, a healing is an invitation to know him more. A deliverance is an invitation to know him more because he's the God who set you free. He's the one who loves you and paid the price. I really just feel God's presence breathing on that. I just feel like God's wooing some people's hearts, drawing you back to a place of first love and just that place of intimacy with the Lord. God, I thank you for the invitation, Lord. We want to say yes to your invitation. We want to say yes. Just begin to say yes in your heart to his invitation. And just take whatever step is next. Don't think about 100 steps or just that one step. Whatever God is saying is the next step. Whatever God is saying for now. And I want you just to put your hand over your heart because I want to pray for the Holy Spirit to just to fill you. Even as we've prayed for demonic spirits to go, I want to pray for the Holy Spirit. Let's fill the house. Let's get our house filled with the goodness, good things of God. So pray this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that by the blood of Jesus, you've made me a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so right now, I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want every room in my house, every part of me, body, soul, and spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God. And so right now, I receive your Holy Spirit in a fresh way, in Jesus' name. Now just wait on the Lord for a minute. I'm just going to pray that. Father, as they wait on the Lord, just I pray a fresh breath of God, the Spirit of the living God, would just come and fill each person, Lord. Let the Spirit of God fill them up, Father. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that rivers of living water would begin to flow out of their innermost being, God. Rivers, God, of cleansing, Lord. Rivers of joy. Restore joy, Father. Rivers of praise, God, and worship. Father, fill their hearts with your Spirit. Fill them with your love, Lord. Root them in your word, God. Fill them with truth, God. I just declare over them that instead of ashes, that there is beauty. God, that instead of mourning, there is the oil of joy. Instead of heaviness, there's this garment of praise. Instead of shame, there's double honor. I declare your blessing over each one, Lord, that they would be filled with your Spirit, God. You would lead them, God, to walk in your ways, to walk in your freedom, to be oaks of righteousness, God, to be sent to repair the ruined cities. I bless them, and I thank you for what you're doing today. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.